inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous feminist ho living in New York City. And first and foremost, I want to pop in and catch up with you all. It's been a minute since we had a normal length Inner Ho Uprising episode. That's because folks have been hopping around, turning 26, going to Essence Fest, going to NOLA, most recently going to Poly Dallas Millennium, the non-monogamy and polyamory conference that our former guest Ruby invited us to. And we have lots and lots of good stories and tea to spill about the weeks that we have been away and our escapades that we want to share with you all, and you'll hear all about that in a few weeks. But on today's episode, one of my co-hosts, Aku, and I sat down with Jimmy Hill. Jimmy is founder of Chrysalis, which is a healing space and initiative for queer black folks. He curates a lovely experience in which folks get to practice self-care and community amidst scenic nature. It's really beautiful and lovely, and I would like to go myself one day. So he spoke to us about all that and also some of the problematic nature of for-profit healing spaces. It's a great conversation, so definitely stay tuned for that. But before we hop into all of that, we are actually curating our very own sex-positive queer black baddie-led event on Saturday, July 28th of this year. That's like 2 weeks from now, or 1 week from now. It's very close. It's called Inner Ho Uprising Day and Night. So on Saturday, July 28th in Brooklyn, New York, we'll be doing a full day experience with plenty of ho-tivities. Up first, from 4 9 p.m. is a day party, and I am so freaking excited for this. We're giving away swag bags full of lube, condoms, CBD topicals, jewelry, and so much more. So we have vendors like Uber Lube and Mirage After Dark and Fuck Water, and some of our podcast friends are giving over like cool merchandise and things like that. So the swag bags are going to be chock full of really fun goodies that we want everyone who is in attendance to take home. We're also going to have super cool demos. So we have a kink scene by Mistress Thick, who's actually friends with Mistress Unknown from a couple episodes ago. So we have like that synergy happening. It's really exciting. We have tarot readings by one of our old guests. Once again, we have Siku, Spooky Siku from the Fat Femme episode, who's coming on, and she's gonna like read your life through tarot cards. We have a waist beating tutorial from Wasted Studio, and we have henna by a very lovely lady named Brielle. It's gonna be awesome. Also, your girlfriend's favorite DJ, DJ Spinelli, will be there playing tunes with her fine ass. There will also be food. We're going to have a twerk contest. We're going to have some raunchy ass games. Winners get to win like dildos and like big bottles of lube and cool t-shirts and shit like that. It's going to be awesome. We've been working our asses off putting this together, which is another reason why we had to take a couple of weeks off. And we would so love to see you there to see the fruits of our labor. Some of your homies are going to be there. Some of your favorite podcasts are going to be there. I know Bag Ladies is going to be there. Perfect Cast is going to be there. Enter the Minds is going to be there. We Come From Queens is going to be there. And hopefully some other people. This is gum. What the fuck? What are you waiting on? Buy your ticket. But if you actually can't make it to the day party, you're also doing something for the night owls. So following the day party from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., we're stripping these down to an all-night dance party. That means twerking into the wee hours of the morning, one of my favorite activities. We'll be moving to the musical stylings of DJ Boston Sherry and DJ Rockwell. So if you like to wine and walk up, as the Caribbean say, this is the portion for you. So you can join us for one, the other, or both. Access to the day and night party will be just $20, and that includes all these free giveaways, free food, and like paying the DJ and stuff like that, and the space. So that's pretty cool, right? For just $20? I think so. But if you can't make it, there's also access to just the night party, which is $5. Our patrons actually receive special discounts. So if you support us on Patreon, you'll have full day access for just $10 and night party access for free $99. So to purchase tickets, please visit the link in the description of this episode. Patrons, find the discount on Patreon, and you can type the code into Eventbrite and you'll see the discounts pop up. We will see you all there on July 28th, or at least I hope so. And when it comes to ho-tivities, the more the merrier, so bring your friends. Now let's step into the queer black serenity of Chrysalis with one Jimmy Hill.
Saw you first, I didn't approach you.
Got my cool, stole it.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
We're so excited to have you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the good work you're doing with Chrysalis, because this is awesome and has been on our radar for like the past 3 years. So.
Exactly. Literally the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That actually means a lot to me. You know, you do things sometimes, right? And you're in it, and you're constantly working, and you're like, do they even like this? Am I doing this? Like,
yeah.
So it's just nice to hear people like come through and be like, yes, like you're doing, I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Those affirmations are key.
Mm-hmm. So very simply, tell us about Chrysalis. Are we even pronouncing it right?
Yes, actually, yes, you are. It's really funny, because like some people are like, Chrysalis, or like, what does it even mean? So Chrysalis is how you pronounce it. So Chrysalis is, it's a bunch of things. So like I say Chrysalis is an event, but then also Chrysalis is a way of life. The event itself is a festival that takes place once a year, and it is a space for queer people of color to come together and celebrate one another, to relax and be in space with one another, to rest, to regenerate, all of this taking place outside of the white gaze. That is something that has been really instrumental in my healing, and realizing that a lot of us don't get the opportunity to deal with our stuff outside of the white gaze and outside of whiteness as a whole. It just seems like there's this investment in us constantly being engaging in it so that we don't fully recharge. And so I wanted to confront that. I created this event, and as my attempt of, you know, giving folks space to build and to be outside of that and feel free to say the things that are on their mind. And also for us as a community to deal with some of the things that keep us, you know, from moving forward, from healing, you know, from, you know, being our best selves. And so creating that space.
What kinds of things, for example?
So we do workshops, which are really, really important. One of the workshops we did last year was the division between you and we, which was a 3-hour workshop where we as a group got together and talked about the ways in which we as a community are sometimes divided, and kind of like that process and what that's like. And just really putting some of our stuff on the table. Like year one was kind of like, we exist, we're here. And year two was like, let's get into it. Like, let's talk about how we can build a better future for our communities. And so there's this workshop piece. There's also this health and wellness piece where folks did yoga, were able to go on hikes. The space that Chrysalis was for the first couple years, there was a farm on the land. So like we were able to learn about like sustainability and like farming, hiking. Then we also, a lot of folks that came during the first couple of Chrysalises were artists. So we created opportunities for people to share their talents and, you know, network with one another in hopes of creating shows, you know, art, and events outside of Chrysalis that centered queer folk of color as well.
That is so great.
A little bit of everything to facilitate, you know, transformation and healing. Funny story, like I, in thinking of a name for what I wanted this event to be, or this whole like way of life, right? I was like, huh, like I want something to encompass like healing and regeneration and transformation. I was really stuck on this idea of like a cocoon, being in a cocoon, and like that process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And I was like, Chrysalis. And then I was just like, huh, well, yeah, like that's cool. But I wanted something, you know, I wanted to add something to it to facilitate conversation. And so I was like, X, for so many reasons, like, I think an X starts a conversation. And for me, that's also like me paying, you know, tribute to Malcolm X, that radical work, that constant bringing things to light and wanting things to transform for just particularly for, like, you know, the Black community, to just continue to be uplifted, and just those values really struck with me. So I was like, Chrysalis was born.
How long has Chrysalis been running?
So we're in our third year. I came up with this idea in 2015, and this is something that I don't really talk about, but I feel like it's important for folks to know. I did a lot of work in HIV prevention and public health, and I particularly for gay Black men in San Francisco. And so one of the things that I kept coming up against was this, like, I felt like I couldn't do work for gay Black men without the accompaniment of white folks. Like, they had to have influence, or they were the ones who had the resources to make things happen. It was just like I kept coming to this gate, and in order for me to get through, there were parts of myself that I had to give up in order to walk through it. And so at this time, I was really dealing with that, working for organizations who really just wanted my face, but they didn't actually want me. They wanted the optics of, like, having a Black gay person doing this community work, but then when it came to actually facilitating that work, and then for some people realizing that it took for them to step back and to relinquish some of their quote-unquote perceived power, it became a lot harder to work in these places. And so in the meantime, I was just ruminating. I was seeing things like, you know, Burning Man and, like, Afropunk and, like, these different, like, things that allowed folks to kind of come together and build community. And I just remember sitting at my desk and being like, God, like, where is there something that I can go to where all of my intersecting identities are, you know, welcomed and appreciated? But then also, and this is the key thing, what do you do when the event is over? Because you go to these things, right? And you spend your time, your money, you go, you have a great time, and then you come back and you, all of the things that you left in your place or your city are there waiting for you. And so for me, I was like, well, I would like to create something that for folks to come back to and they can create within their cities as well.
Oh, so there's an option for people to, like, craft different Chrysalis festivals where they are?
That's where I was headed when I was talking about like the future of what this is going to be. It's me realizing that Chrysalis as an annual thing is a destination, but, like, what does it take for you to get there, and what kind of support do people need on that path? And so realizing that it's more than just a once a year thing. Like, this is a way of life. We, particularly, especially Black queer people, like, we need infrastructure that we can rely on a daily basis. You know, like, it's hard out here, right? Like, I mean, I just my personal experience working in organizations where I had to give up parts of myself in order to be accepted, you know, then working amongst a community that is deeply in pain and never really fully gets the time to, like, really sit with that, because, again, like, we are always constantly engaged in these systems that drain us. So, like, really trying to answer that, like, what does that infrastructure look like? And so that's something that I think would be really great for all of us to be able to have access to something like Chrysalis, regardless of education, regardless of where you live, to be able to have something that you can create that is specifically tailored to the community that you live in, but then also be connected to a larger network of folks as well, if and when you need that support.
And what does that infrastructure look like, or is it kind of just in the beginning stages right now?
It's in the beginning stages, but one of the things that I will say is, I think we as people, right, like, the one thing that we have the most control over for the most part is where we live. So, like, instead of reaching out and trying to do raise money and do all this stuff to acquire these resources to have this event, what about using the resources that you have and realizing that it doesn't have to be glitter and glamour? It can just be the people that you are building community with, and it can take place at your house or someone's house or a park. Like, really just turning this whole idea of infrastructure on its head and being like, it doesn't have to be like a multi-million dollar infrastructure. It can just be you and your friends and just the desire to be more and do more and just be with each other. And there's just so much that comes with that. Like, I just had my first like Black queer meetup here in Colorado, where I'm currently living now, and it was incredible. Just the amount of talent and desire and resources that were in that room, that just that room with those like 25 people alone, you know, could set up something that could last a lifetime. But it's just people recognizing that we have that resilience and that ability, you know?
So our own personal queer people of color Afropunks in our own neighborhoods, basically.
Yeah.
That's great. That's lit. That is lit.
It could be done. It's like, duh, when you think about it. But like, I feel like so many of us, and this, the way the world is now, it's like everybody's like building brands and doing all these things. And it's just like, we're always building away from ourselves, right? We're always reaching for something instead of starting with self and building from within and realizing like, oh my God, like there's so much resource with my immediate network of people, and just starting from there.
What do you mean by we're always building away from ourselves? Like, maybe give an example.
So, I mean, I'll take the first year of Chrysalis, I was so obsessed with it being like this grand thing that like I was reaching out to people like across the country and like going, just traveling and just doing all this stuff to like make people interested, and like not realizing that I could have did all of that in my own backyard, right? Realizing that like there are people that I live next to who would have offered space. There was there's a great resource in Oakland called East Bay Meditation Center, and that was something in the midst of me trying to be cool, right? Like, I was trying to be cool and have this thing be the hugest thing since sliced bread, and it was like I was missing all of this stuff that was right in front of my face. And I just think in general, we sometimes forget that we ourselves are an unlimited source of power and resilience. And I think sometimes we forget that because, again, like this world is like, you know, build, make it bigger, make this money, and then you forget about the original intention of your creation.
Ain't that the truth? If we could hop back over to Chrysalis, the event, the one-off, can you kind of just paint the picture, like set the scene for us about what's going on, what it looks like, what it feels like to be there, like really put our listeners into the space?
So for the past couple of years, Chrysalis was at Groundswell Institute. So you essentially have to travel like an hour and a half outside of the Bay Area. And essentially just think of going to a place, a natural place, be that a forest in the hills, just a really natural setting full of nature. And you walk up, and there are cabins or tents, sprawling hills, trees. There's a pond. Just imagine going to just a beautiful oasis and just seeing nothing but black and brown folks ready to greet you.
That is a mood.
And right. Just like melanated magicalness, just open arms and just ready for you to just come and just let go of whatever pains, burdens, like lay it down for a little while and come be in space with a community of people who who are wanting the same thing.
And what is the importance of being in such a space with people who are in your community? Like, what's the importance of that connection to nature?
There's something I feel like we have lost that. For me, for example, living in the Bay, or just anyone living in a city, right? It's go, 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 go. Lights, technology, cameras, action. You're going from one place to another because you have this appointment. You have to do this. Then you have to, you know, manage to fit in some self-care. And you're going a million miles an hour. And when you go into a place, you step into a place like Chrysalis, time stands still. And this way, you're able to relax. Things are slowed down. There's no real stimulation. There's no real lights except for, like, you know, camp lights or, you know, lights from some of the cabins. But it's an opportunity for you to slow down and to really sit with yourself and with the community of people that you're with. It's really this opportunity to be present.
I guess what kinds of activities might one expect? Like, I've just stepped into the Groundswell Institute, for example, or whatever the next Chrysalis is being mm-hmm. held. I'm walking mm-hmm. around. What kinds of things am I seeing?
So you're seeing people being super creative. There's looks coming from everything, even making looks from like tree branches and leaves. There is, you know, folks, there is space for nudity. We created a space for folks to go. And if that is what you want to do, there's like a pond or body of water for folks to come together and go swimming. There are also opportunities to like meet with other people. So there's like a whole meet and greet piece. We do this thing like who's in the room. So it gives you an opportunity to like get to know the people that you're going to be sharing the next 3 or 4 days with, because I think that's really important, you know, to know the people that you're going to be in community with. A lot of talent comes through, which is amazing. So we do have like an opportunity for folks to showcase their gifts, their talents and abilities. So we have like a bonfire and we just put on the greatest show on earth. You know, people have danced, sang, written poetry, played music.
Is there like a schedule or like an itinerary, or do you just like walk in and then just start doing whatever you want?
Right. So no, it's guided. So what I will do is I'll create a flow. Like this last one, I'll tell you. So you walk in, right? Like you walk in, you meet everyone. Everyone kind of just settles in, get to know your surroundings a little bit. And then around the evening time, we'll do like an opening ceremony. And this is the question you were asking earlier. So like there's an opening ceremony into which we'll have someone open up the space and set the intentions of what the next 3 or 4 days are going to be like. And then from there, people will go kind of like get settled in. And then it's a sort of like a meet and greet that night where we all come to the fire and we'll kind of do like opening of the elements. We'll have an opener come and, you know, set the intention of the weekend again for that night. And just one of the things that we got to do this last one is we sat by the fire and just we told our stories. You know, it was a way for us to get really intimate with one another and kind of just talk about, you know, why people were coming to Chrysalis, like what compelled them to be there and what they would like to get out of the experience. And so we sat by the fire and did that. And then every morning there is, you know, breakfast. There's also yoga. We had an incredible woman by the name of Elle Swan, who's just magic. She came through and she did that opening ceremony by the fire. And she also did morning yoga instruction and mindfulness. So there was meditation. Folks like went on hikes in the morning. And then we did that afternoon, we did a series of workshops depending on what people were into. This past year, we created a temple of healing. So we created a chrysalis essentially, which was, I brought in acupuncturists, intuitive counselors, somatic body workers, Reiki healers. We brought in essentially this collective called the Healing Clinic Collective that's based out of the Bay Area. It gave our folks an opportunity to engage in healing in a real way. Sometimes we can't afford it. Sometimes we don't have time for it, or at least that's the stories we tell ourselves. And so this Chrysalis, I wanted people to see that healing is an option, you know, and you can engage it in any way you want by choosing your path and what that looked like for you. So we created this healing temple for folks to come and get their heal on. We also had we brought in some clay for the pond where folks were able to rub clay on themselves and go swimming. And we had a party with music. And then we did another workshop thing before dinner. And then we did the performances and talent show.
Oh man, that's so amazing. This just sounds so good. Yeah. And I can really see parts of it being plugged and inserted into different, we can have a healing temple every weekend to go.
Mm-hmm.
We could just really use it, you know?
Right.
So what kinds of folks are attending? Obviously, this is a safe space for queer people of color, but where are people, I guess, what kinds of mindsets are people coming in? What kinds of things are they saying? Why do they need Chrysalis?
You get everything, which I love, because I use that information to create the next Chrysalis. So I'll explain it in this way. So the first Chrysalis was very, everyone was so excited for something like this to be in existence. It was just lovey-dovey. Everyone was having a good time. But some folks really wanted to talk. They had things on their heart that they really wanted to talk about, you know, why isn't stuff like this readily available to us on a regular basis? Which, again, turned a light on in my head. And I was like, oh, I should hold on to that. People need this on a regular basis. But then also, because at the first one at that time, coming from a public health and HIV prevention field, a lot of the people that I knew were cis gay men. So that was reflected in the population of that came that first year. So then following year, I took that as an opportunity to really dive deep and expand and want to open that up. The intersection and spectrum of queerness is more than just gay men.
Yep.
Some of them don't have that memo. We're working on it. I'm trying to work on it. That's a whole nother topic. But I wanted to be really intentional in bringing cis and trans women into the space, gender nonconforming folks to the space. I really wanted intersections to be present, because that's where the ideas come from. That's where the knowledge comes from. That's where the next step in our evolution as a community comes from. And so the next year, it was more diverse within our intersection, right? But it could have been, I will be honest, it could have been better. I'm always wanting to improve the experience and wanting more people to show up. And so what happened from that this last year was there needed to be more intention in bringing women into the space and respecting that people are bringing different energies and capacities to the space. Some people are like, I just want to relax. I don't necessarily want to do workshops. I don't necessarily want to talk about my feelings. I just want to be in nature and just chill. And that's okay, right? That's okay. Some people, you know, they're like, well, I want to talk about, you know, the things that are keeping us as a community divided and from, you know, collectively being stronger. Why do we have to, you know, why do we have to leverage ourselves in order to get access to certain spaces? I went through a whole lot of stuff in getting Chrysalis to be at Groundswell. And, you know, it's one of those things why don't more Black folks have access to land?
Yeah. What kinds of stuff did you go through trying to have the event there?
Yeah. What were the barriers?
So the barriers were being a token is real. And especially with allies, they want you to be at in a certain way that affirms their existence. And when you push back against that, you run into trouble. One of those things was because, and I'll just say it, like, that particular organization that helped Chrysalis come to life, you know, gave freely of the land. They like wanted to make this thing happen. But at the same time, I was noticing that some of the things that I would be talking about future plans for Chrysalis, like certain language, just there were certain things that I would bring up that I would start to see being reflected in the work that they were doing. But there wasn't an extension of collaboration, right? So like, it's like, say like me and you, like we're all talking, you know, Interho Uprising, and then the next thing you know, like I create a podcast that is similar to your podcast, but yet I don't even invite you to collaborate on that or even get your feedback, or, you know, just like, I just totally just go around you and just try to make this thing happen. And so it was just this lesson for me and like allyship and like, you know, what does it mean to be an ally? And what does it mean to have a dream, right? And want it to happen so badly that you're willing to sacrifice your own healing and your own self to make it happen? Is that worth it? And so that's kind of been some of the stuff that I've personally come up against, and realizing that I am a resilient, powerful being. And I just took all of this as an opportunity to learn. I think some folks could get caught up in, which I'm guilty of this too, like being caught up in being done wrong, or seeing this as an opportunity to learn and move forward with those lessons. So they were definitely barriers in trying to get things off the ground, and also like barriers from your own community, right? Like people who look like you and, you know, are in your same community, not wanting you to do better than them or not wanting you to be quote unquote in their lane, because, you know, what I call Highlander syndrome is real in our community. And like some folks are out here thinking that there can only be one. And it's that kind of scarcity thinking that I feel like has also been a detriment to our community as well.
I guess on that end, we can use that as a launching point to say, like, so when you are out there in the world trying to tell folks about Chrysalis or even trying to get people to attend the event, what kinds of, like, what does that look like? What is the process of doing that?
And what is the response?
I'm a one-on-one person. Like, I love meeting people one-on-one and having really just, you know, really deep, intimate conversations with them. So like for me, it was traveling and just like meeting people constantly, people who I felt would be a fit, people who I thought really could gain something from being in a space like Chrysalis. So it's me calling people, meeting people for coffee, you know, or going to folks' houses and just having dinners and just like creating conversation. For me, Chrysalis starts with conversation. It's like, what do you want to see in the world? And how can we make that happen? How can we make those dreams happen? And I will say, I've received mixed reviews. Some folks are really into it and love it and are like, yes, I've been waiting for this. And some people are like, call me when it's cool.
Oh no,
that's a thing.
Regarding, yeah, like, why is it not cool? Like, what are those?
Right. One of the craziest conversations I had was like, I had met some Black gay men who I really respected and liked, who were in my community, and I pitched them Chrysalis. I was like, so this is what I'm thinking. And they basically said, I'm really interested. They gave me this whole analogy of like, you know, you have someone on a hill and they just start dancing and just flailing their arms and they're just in their own little world and they're dancing, right? And then they're like, and then someone comes up to that person and they're wondering what they're doing. And then maybe they don't understand it or they walk away. But eventually someone comes up and they start dancing too. And so they're like, we're interested in seeing what happens when there's a group of people up on this hill dancing, that's when we'll be interested in what you're doing. And I was like, oh, so I got to be cool in order for y'all to come through. Yeah. Got it.
So that old, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all want me situation.
Yeah. And it was just like, I'm building this because I was inspired by y'all and wanting y'all.
Yeah, I want you to be the cool guys.
I want y'all to come through.
Yeah.
They didn't. But, I mean, Chrysalis grew nonetheless because it comes from this place of me genuinely wanting spaces for people to heal and for... And just that realization that we have the power to create and manifest anything we want.
What was attendance like the first year, the second year, and how many people are involved with it now?
So the first year, I think 75 people came.
It's a good turnout.
In total, that first year. Mm-hmm. Right. I wasn't expecting that.
Congratulations.
And then the next year, thank you. And then the next year, I think around 150 to 175 people
came. Okay, doubling numbers.
Right. But it was one of those things where people kind of came in and out. Like some people came for like a day, some people came for 2 days. My intention was for people to stay like the entire time to get the full experience of what I was trying to curate. But again, realizing that people come, you know, wanting various things, and that was okay. Just to know that they could come and just get whatever it was that they needed and then go, that was perfectly fine with me. So now in this third year, I would say in this place of rebuilding. As I mentioned, I moved to Denver because I felt that Chrysalis had reached a point where it couldn't grow anymore being in the Bay Area, because for many reasons, gentrification is real. I was kicked out of my home because of the Ellis Act. So like basically if a landlord wants to move their relative or if they want to like rebuild their unit, they can essentially like kick you out and rebuild and whatever. And it was one of those things where like it was they were losing money by us living there because the unit was worth so much. So there was that. But then also just what the elements of gentrification, it'd be really interesting if someone out here could study what that does to us as people. Like, the kind of person you become when you're in a city that's constantly like outdoing itself and growing, and you're seeing all these brands popping up, all these new things popping up. Like, in San Francisco, everyone's an artist, everyone's a drag queen, everyone's a brand, everyone's all this stuff. So it's like people then only, they start to see you as competition, but then also like they see you as a tool, which I know is like universal, that's everywhere, but in such a small concentrated area, then with a smaller group of subsect of that population, it just becomes very cutthroat. And like, again, Highlander syndrome is real in these communities. So I was called to Denver because a group of people were like, you could bring Chrysalis here and it will grow here. Like there's room for expansion, even though Denver is also going through its own gentrification.
However, many major cities are, yeah.
Yeah. But there's this magic here where like there's this group, particularly of Black queer people who are ready, who want to put in what the work that it's going to take to make something like Chrysalis and beyond grow. Like there is really an opportunity to plant seeds and water them and watch them grow. And so I'm here for that. So like that opportunity for growth called me to Colorado.
That's amazing.
So like it's kind of, yeah, so we're kind of just, I'm kind of just getting a feel of it, just, you know, reintroducing myself to this community and seeing what Chrysalis will be when we plant that seed into this ground here in Colorado. And also with the intention of doing that, I mean, hopefully across the world, right? Like being able to go to communities who are like, I would like to see what Chrysalis could be here, and working with that community and seeing what they create.
So exciting. I'm
like, I'm just like, there can be a Chrysalis in like New York, yeah. Upstate, out somewhere,
yeah,
on someone's land.
You're very excited.
I would love that. So So I'm like, if anyone out there, like, if y'all want it, just hit me up. Like, I would love to envision that with people, because I think it would be beautiful out there. There's so much out there too in New York. There's a lot of spaces out there too, like Soul Power Farms out there, various apothecaries out there. There are like these different spaces that I feel would really lend itself to Chrysalis, and it would be a beautiful thing.
It's also somewhat like even more so beautiful. Well, maybe this is just like a knowing upstate New York thing, but it's like hella racist up there. So just like being in your own pocket of goodness amongst that would be quite nice. Or just like staking the claim, like this is our land for like these 5 days.
Yeah. And imagine an infrastructure that was in place, right? That you could go to that. Even like in your neighborhood, you'd be like, oh, so-and-so has got this particular spot. We can have these workshop series there. Oh, and across town, this other person's doing like these art things. We can link up there, and always being able to plug in and get that regeneration, that energy whenever you want, so we can continue doing this larger like work out here, because they're after us, as you know. So it's just like the more places we can go and recharge, the better.
I just think of little, like, we're, like, all batteries and we're going to these different charging stations, like, all across the world.
Yes.
Plug in.
Yes. I'm trying to have a charging station everywhere.
I really, really love that.
I do.
In the first couple of Chrysalises, is that the...
Chrysalis.
Right.
What do we say?
In the first couple instances of a Chrysalis, you had mentioned that no one would be turned away for a lack of funds. So how did that situation break out?
So it was really important for me personally to be able to give access to Chrysalis to whoever requested it. And that's still one of my core values. Like, I want Chrysalis to be accessible to anyone who wishes to have it in their life. And so with Groundswell, they were like, well, we could do this thing where, you know, no one's turned away for lack of funds, so that way everyone can come. And so they were very gracious to, you know, be able to absorb some of the, you know, some of the financials with that came along with that. So like people could give what they could, or we would do like scholarships. The larger, like the dream would be for there to be like scholarships or volunteer your time, your talents or your gifts. You can come, you know, like with some current festivals in existence, it's one of those things where you have to pay, I mean, way too much money if you ask me to go. And my dream is for it to just be something y'all just go to because it's there for you to go, and that be it. You know, capitalism is real, and I know some of that, you know, that's really one of the biggest barriers with Chrysalis is capitalism, to be honest, because I'm really invested in this idea of it being anti-capitalist. But that gets hard because it's essentially me raising this money or working and using my own money to make it happen. But again, for me, like what I've realized with Chrysalis is a gift that I can give to people, and that's how I want it. I want it to always be something that I'm giving, not something that I'm necessarily trying to like make a whole bunch of money off of. I think that's something that could happen in the future, but that's not why I'm doing this. This is a gift that everyone should have access to.
Love it. So. This is called Inner Ho Uprising, so
we get a little raunchy sometimes.
We would like to get just a little bit raunchy, but this isn't a raunchy question. I just want to go back to you had said that like there were specific areas set up so people can be in the nude. What is the importance of setting up spaces like that at an event and a space like this? A space like Chrysalis.
Yeah. So part of what happened with Chrysalis is a lot of the folks who came were part of the Radical Fairies. Mm-hmm. So like there is this like free love sex energy already in existence, and the space itself was like that. So it was both good and bad, because it was an opportunity for us to really work with that energy. And so what we did was we created like where in this instance, there was a pond area where it was clothing optional. And I tell you, it was so beautiful to just see all of these melanated, different bodies just soaking in the sun, swimming in the water. It was just so beautiful. I won't lie, I definitely teared up because it was just something I'd never really seen before. And then also too, like there were opportunities, like there were this space, Chrysalis, was on like 200 acres of land. So like there was also like tents and areas where we created space for folks to do whatever it is that they wanted to do.
What do you mean by that?
You know,
yeah.
So like
so
if people wanted
rumors.
It, if people, I heard a rumor. So like if your inner hoe was uprising, there was a space for you to release her. And so, there was space for that to happen. This last year at Groundswell Institute, where Chrysalis was held, there was like a whole hot tub area. There's also a secluded pond area as well where folks could go. Very sex positive space, which the, you know, for me personally, I'm more of a prune, but I'm also someone who believes, you know, I believe in that inner hoe uprising for real. Like that is something that we all should, you know, have access to. And so definitely being intentional and creating opportunities for that to happen. As it gets bigger, I think definitely creating space so that everyone feels welcome. A lot of stuff comes up when you bring in different folks with different, you know, just from different experiences and different walks of life, bringing them into a space that's sexual. I just want to also touch on how sometimes we, as queer folks of color, will adapt oppressive like frameworks when negotiating sex and who's desirable and all that stuff. So that kind of came in, and just having people on hand, you know, who like sex therapists and folks who could, you know, take time to hold space for folks if that was something that came up during those times. So just having stuff in place so that, you know, you could go, you know, and do whatever it is you wanted to do, be that sex, like watching, like all of that. Moving forward, I think it'd be an incredible opportunity for, you know, folks who are into kink and just, you know, bringing in, really trying to find place to harness that sexual energy that exists within us, and finding, because we can heal too. Like we can heal and have a sexy ass good time. Like I'm here for it.
When is the next Chrysalis, and how can people get involved?
So the next Chrysalis be in 2019. I just relocated to Colorado. You know, it's trying to get my footing here. It's trying to figure out how to move forward. So Chrysalis won't happen this year. However, I'm planning something in the fall that is taking like the workshop piece, the art and performance piece of Chrysalis, and creating space for folks here in Colorado to, or whomever wants to visit, to really just celebrate us and have conversations around, you know, our healing, what we need as a community, and how to grow Chrysalis and make it reach whomever would like it to touch, whomever would like to touch Chrysalis. But I'm definitely planning for a Chrysalis 2019. So if folks can check me out on Instagram, my Instagram is SovereignZay, and just get in contact with me. And there's plenty of work for folks, or if folks want to chat. I also have a website, www.chrysalis.net, that has some of the previous Chrysalis events. There's a visual album we did this year, you know, being inspired by our Lord and Savior Beyonce. We did a visual album of Chrysalis 2017 that's on YouTube, so check that out. It will definitely give you a sense of what Chrysalis was. Yeah, it it was a little documentary that kind of took place of what happened and will give you the full fantasy to life. So check that out as well.
Yeah, I took a look at it and you can just get the vibe off of the visual itself. It felt so secure and so safe and so relaxed and so accepting. And at the end, I was like, why am I not queer enough to get here? Like, what do I have to do to get in? But yeah, that is, we're going to link that. Sam will link that for you in the show notes.
Oh, I'm glad you got to see it. Yeah, I was very proud of that. A friend of mine, Calvin, did an incredible job with that.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Jimmy, and telling us about Chrysalis. Definitely we will link in the description of this episode where folks can hit you up, because I feel like our listeners would want to like generate some good labor.
Into that. Yeah. Yes, they'll want to attend, they'll want to
help
volunteer
build
their labor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, I really, that momentum is real, and I really just would love and appreciate that support, y'all, for real. And I so thank you for just even taking the time to even want to hear from me. I'm so honored, and you know, just thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on here. Yes.
That was so good.
Yes.
Make sure to check out Jimmy and Chrysalis, guys, because, you know,
it sounds like some dope shit.
We need Chrysalis NYC, basically.
Yes.
This is all for selfish purposes. Now I'm just like, I want to go, so let's make it happen. Like,
let's make it happen so I can go.
Just imagine like a Chrysalis in Jamaica.
Oh my gosh.
That would be so beautiful. Oh my God. Literally anywhere, honestly. Yeah. Except for like Antarctica.
Anywhere in nature.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that wraps up another wonderful episode of Inner Ho Uprising, if I do say so myself. Mm. Like, the show is not my child.
I'm not going to badmouth it. It's always lit here.
It's always a great episode. But yeah.
Yeah. If you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. Go to innerhouprising.com to pay a ho or check out some merch. You guys can follow me, Akua, at HEYYAKUAGIRL. Hey, cool girl.
It's like a thing.
on Twitter and on Instagram.
You can follow me at SlamRid, Rid with 2Ds on Instagram and Twitter. That will be in the description of this episode along with all of Jimmy's information. Until next time, folks.
Bye.